The U.S. combat mission is officially over in Afghanistan, but the general who's just stepped down as leader of U.S. troops says the Taliban are still fighting hard and that American forces should be more on the offensive. Here's General John Campbell testifying about U.S. troop levels before the House Armed Services Committee last month.
I think it's important to remember that this time last year, our plan was to transition to 1,000 troops, Kabul-centric footprint. Due to conditions on the ground, the President made the decision to extend 9,800 through most of 2016 and increased our posture to 5,500 in 2017.
General Campbell says conditions are getting worse in Afghanistan. He says the Taliban have regained ground that American forces fought to take back during the troop surge that began in 2009, and he started a new debate about U.S. strategy in Afghanistan. Washington Post reporter Greg Jaffe is following this story. Greg, just how powerful are the Taliban becoming again in Afghanistan?
You know, they're certainly a major force on the ground. The big issue last year was they were able to retake for a few weeks the Afghan city of Kunduz. That was the first time a sort of a major Afghan city had fallen since the U.S. invasion back in 2001.
And we should say a strategically important city as well.
It is, and it really set off shockwaves throughout Afghanistan. It really had people worried in Kabul and elsewhere about what was going to happen. So psychologically, it was really damaging. And then the Taliban have made big gains in Helmand province, which is south of Kabul. And that was it's a major source of heroin and poppy production in Afghanistan. And it was really the major focus of the U.S. Surge back in 2009, 2010, 2011.
So this is a lot of ground that American troops had held with the help, of course, of Afghanistan fighters that is now back in the hands of the Taliban?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Not all of Helmand province, but big chunks of it. And you know, that's not just a problem for Helmand province, but again, it has, you know, a psychological impact throughout Afghanistan.
Let me ask you this, though. The psychological impact, an impact presumably for Afghans who live there, and maybe you can tell us what that is. When the Taliban takes over a region, what does that mean for the people who live there?
You know, it's difficult to know. I mean, in some cases, and I think this is something that was in President Obama's mind throughout the troop surge, is that the Taliban who are coming back into these places, I mean, they're not outsiders. These are people who live and have spent their lives in these provinces and are part of the local power structure. In that sense, I don't think it means a huge change on the ground for the residents in terms of their daily lives. But it certainly makes it much harder for the Afghan government in Kabul to extend its reach to have an impact on the ground in these places.
Okay, so tell us what the role is that American troops are playing in Afghanistan right now and how that role would change under what General John Campbell wants to happen as he leaves Afghanistan now.
Well, the major focus for conventional American forces is what they call a train, advise, and assist mission. And they're primarily at the core level, which is a big headquarters pretty far from the front lines. And what those American troops there are doing is, you know, helping make sure that the Afghan army's functioning, that it's got the weaponry, the ammunition, the food it needs to fight, and you know, sending back reports if there are real big problems.
But the Americans aren't doing fighting themselves right now.
You know, it depends. Some of the special forces units are out with Afghan special forces units, and they're pretty close to the front lines. They're down to the platoon level, you know, which is maybe 40 or 50 guys. And they've suffered some casualties in the last few months or so. They're not involved in day-to-day combat, but they're certainly coming under fire.
So how would that change under what General Campbell is suggesting?
The biggest change is that when we ended combat operations at the end of 2014, we declared that the Taliban were no longer the enemy. So General Campbell doesn't, or the current commander over there, General Campbell just stepped down and was replaced by General Nicholson, doesn't have authority to strike the Taliban, except if they're directly threatening U.S. forces or if a major Afghan unit is about to get overrun, sort of in extremis. And what this would allow U.S. commanders to do is to target the Taliban more directly in some circumstances. And I think the idea is to help Afghan forces hold off the Taliban. So if there's a big Afghan planned operation coming up, maybe you support them with air support. You take some of the edge off the enemy, as one of the generals described it to me over there.
Would this require more U.S. troops?
No, I don't think so. I think it would change the way targeting is done over there, particularly from the air.
And why can't Afghan forces themselves do that?
The Afghans just don't have an air force right now. You know, it was one of the things that we didn't do a particularly good job helping them build. We put it off and put it off because it seemed too hard. And now we're sort of rushing to do it. But they have very, very little air support. You know, the other problem is that we gave them Russian helicopters, and those have been breaking down and falling apart. And because of the sanctions on Russia, we're having a heck of a time getting spare parts for them.
But the Russians themselves now are giving weaponry to the Afghan forces, are they not?
You know, I don't know that that's the case. I know that the Russians have probably supported them a little bit, but they're certainly not helping them enough to keep those helicopters flying, which are really a critical component of the fight.
So what's the idea behind General Campbell's recommendation for extra force and for air support and for air strikes? Because it seems as though we've had more than a decade of that, and that has not brought us peace in the region and has not done much to bring the Taliban to a diplomatic table. So what does he expect would happen?
Yeah, you've just articulated the sort of the core argument in terms of pushback from the White House, which is, hey, we've been at this for quite a while, and it hasn't made a difference. What's to convince us that doing more of the same will make a difference? You know, increasingly, and I found this really interesting, the U.S. military used to talk a lot in terms of end states. Now that language is almost completely gone. And they really talk about this conflict as a sort of a generational conflict. And so I think what they're looking at and what General Campbell was looking at is, how do we support the Afghan forces over the long term, realizing that this isn't a problem we're going to fix in the next 2 or 3 or 5 years? You know, this is probably something that we have to be engaged and committed to at current levels for the next, 15 or 20 years.
But he's not talking about at current levels. Isn't he talking about increased levels?
No. I mean, I think the military would like to continue at about the current levels, which is 9,800 troops. Expanding a little bit the air campaign to support the Afghans, but not increasing the number of troops and not going back to sort of 2013 or 2012 when we were doing so much more. So I think what the military sees is that the force levels we have right now are pretty sustainable. We're not taking heavy casualties. It's certainly very expensive. You know, it's $10 to $15 billion a year. But it's something that they feel like political will can be sustained for over the long period of time.
Can you clarify that? So if it's $10 to $15 billion a year under what General Campbell wants, and we don't know if this is actually going to be accepted by the White House, but under what he wants, presumably it would cost a lot more money. It would cost almost certainly more American lives. What is his end game?
I'm not sure about those two things. I think, you know, the aircraft are over there already. So it's a question of how you employ the aircraft and who you're targeting. It may cost more American lives, but that's also not clear. You know, what you're trying to do is similar to sort of what we're doing in Syria right now in Iraq, which is more robustly supporting the Afghan forces from the air. I think his end state is, and this is really tough, I think they look at the Afghan military and they say, to get this force to where it needs to be in terms of fighting, it's going to take a generation. And that generation means, and by that I think they mean, they've got sort of a layer of not particularly effective and somewhat corrupt officials throughout the top levels of the Afghan army. And it's getting the next sort of generation that's grown up and been mentored by U.S. forces in the lead. And then it's, you know, the trick is developing an air capability, which is a real potential game changer in Afghanistan. And that means training pilots and doing all that other stuff, which takes a long, long time.
So what threat do the Taliban present to America right now and to American interests? Because that would presumably underline any kind of rationale for how much more aggressive the U.S. should become in Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And that's a subject of huge debate. Are they an enemy to the U.S.? Should they be viewed as an enemy to the U.S.? You know, some would say the Taliban don't have any aims in terms of attacking the U.S. homeland. They're local actors focused on a local problem, and therefore we shouldn't treat them like the enemy. I think the military and those who are in favor of a more robust effort would argue that, you know, the Taliban have in the past shown that they're willing to give haven to actors who want to strike America. And there's no reason to think that they wouldn't do that again.
Greg Jaffe of The Washington Post, nice to speak with you.
Yeah, thanks much.